Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson with Greenwashed on RCR, Reality Check Radio.
Welcome back to Greenwashed. You're with Jaspreet Boparai and Don Nicholson. And if any one of you has heard us over the last weeks, you must have heard Don and me go on and on about the sea level rise modeling and the managed retreat and the recently closed inquiry on the coastal adaptation plan that they want to push for the whole country. The inquiry finished last Sunday on the 16th of June. I don't know how many people made submissions, but I hope a few did. But more to the point, we've heard from the people on the Kapiti Coast over various shows in the since the beginning of this year about how their properties are being impacted by what modelling has been undertaken by the council. They've had a whole panel there called the Coastal Adaptation Plan, CAP. Sorry, there's so many buzzwords that I get a bit lost. And they finally, the CAP panel has finally submitted their findings officially to the Kapiti Coast Council last week. And somehow, this was supposedly a meeting that was live streamed, but Don and I looked on the council's YouTube channel and we could not find any trace of this meeting. So to give us an update on what happened, what transpired in the council's chambers, in the Kapiti Coast District Council chambers, we have back with us Tanya and Kerry from the group Kapiti Calm that's been doing some stellar work to raise awareness on what's been happening. So welcome, ladies, and let's get into it.
Hi there. Thanks
for
having us back again.
Yes, thank
you. So we needed an update because I can't find anything on the YouTube channel for a meeting that was supposedly live streamed. So I'm very intrigued.
Yes, yeah. It really should be up there because it is of interest to all the residents of Kapiti. And, you know, it was held during the day at 1 o'clock, so a lot of people couldn't attend. But the good news was that the gallery was full. Mm-hmm. And there were a lot of very good speakers. I think there were about 10 or 11 speakers. I was the first. And basically every other speaker after me echoed what I was saying about their concerns from a social, an economic, a scientific perspective. And we also had a few ratepayers on there who... we're talking about how difficult life is. They're facing a rates increase as well of about 7.5%. And now with this looming over us as well, it's incredibly difficult for people.
It is. And I've read the statement that you kindly emailed to us on what you stated there. But tell us how the proceedings went. So at some stage, the Coastal Advisory Panel that is headed by ex-PM Jim Woolger obviously presented their report. They have been advised throughout this process by this American firm called Jacobs. And I believe Jacobs have been very handsomely paid. Would I be wrong if I say it was something to the tune of about $500,000 over various tranches?
I think it was quarter of a million.
Quarter of a million. I stand corrected. Yep.
For two voluminous reports. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a vulnerability assessment and I think the susceptibility as well.
So did Jacobs also speak there?
No, Kat weren't there. They were online on the live feed. But all up, I think it's probably closer to $5 million now, the whole process for Jacobs and the CAP process, which has been over the last, CAP have been over the last 2 years. The Jacobs reports were done before that, so we're pushing upwards to $5 million.
How could they spend that much and still have such inconclusive output?
And they didn't finish the complicated pathways model that they started. They didn't develop the triggers, signals, and
thresholds.
Thresholds for what, when a managed retreat would take place.
Yes, yeah.
So what's the point?
Which is really important.
They've left that for apparently the council are going to now take that up and complete that work.
Oh, look, I could just hear how the chair would have called that meeting the other day and said, well, we'll take all your feedback on board. That's what they say. So what was the body language like by the councillors present? In fact, were all councillors present? That's a key as well.
It was quite intimidating because there were actually more than that. There were probably about 30 people. It was very top heavy. So you know, you're sitting on the other side. It's very intimidating. It was quite a solemn meeting. And yeah, I would say that the vibe was, you know,
So fairly serious, wasn't it? I mean,
they were serious, and they, I think, as each speaker went on and echoed the same sentiments as the last speaker, they were sort of sitting up and taking note that, knowing that it's an election year looming as well,
so this
and
public speaking time actually went for an hour and a half. So most of the meeting was taken up by the public speaking time, and there were climate scientists, there were all from the community,
economic.
lawyers, an economic analyst who specialised in risk hazard risk economies. Who else was there? Crew was there.
Yeah, there were two speakers from Crewe. There was the chair and the deputy chair. So Salima was there and Quentin. They, of course, always put up a really good argument against the
Yeah,
cooking.
you guys made the paper, so I looked at the RNZ report, and for Salima, Padamsi from the Coastal Ratepayers United, their stand was that the panel's report should be taken as an advisory, nothing more, because the council never vested the advisory committee, that is the CAP panel, with any statutory authority under the RMA, and yet they have spent $5 million.
And actually, recently the chief executive did advise that it was the CAP report was not to be used for planning purposes. And they've also said the adaptation zones are not hazard zones.
This makes no sense.
No.
Nobody is ready to be the fall guy about what was this $5 million spent on. So tell me, because I can't see this meeting anything, was there a vote taken that day? Did the council accept the recommendations of the CAP panel?
No, they just received
What
the
does that mean?
report. That means that they acknowledged receipt of it, but they haven't actually accepted the recommendations themselves. I know it's a bit of a play on words, isn't it?
But they did go to great pains to emphasize that they were receiving. It
Yes,
wasn't
no
accepting, and they weren't accepting the recommendations. And they actually put up a slide at the end, and again, it emphasized the receiving. They also agreed to look at further do a further assessment of any other science and consider other evidence. So we took that as a little,
Yeah,
I
they're
think without the pushback that they've had, we wouldn't have got that. And then the other thing was, one of the speakers,
in Harrison.
the Ian Harrison, he does the risk economic assessment, and that's what he's done over his career, putting a price, if you like, on risk management. He's already done an assessment, which is like, as he says, you don't invest in something that may or may not happen in 100 years' time and bankrupt your community.
And bankrupt them
But
today, essentially.
yes, that's right. And so the council actually agreed to let him do a further economic analysis. He's asked for the models that Jacobs used and the models that CAP used so that he can do a much more in-depth analysis. And they seem to agree to that, I
They
have
did,
to
yeah.
admit.
But
Yes.
he's hoping they do honour that,
Yes.
because it is a really important component. They also, council, are going to be seeking feedback from the Insurance Council following CAP's recommendations as well. Yeah,
Oh, I don't know
hopefully
if you
no.
heard Don and me last week. We were speaking under the NGO matter section. We spoke about the Insurance Council in New Zealand and IGNZ. And going by what I see on the websites and the partnerships they have with the United Nations Environment Programme, they're signing up to the Paris Accord.
Yes, they're in it.
In it to win it. Just ladies, I don't know whether anyone talks about this. They directly, but you just by proxy have had massive stigma value a loss attributed to your properties in that region. So just by talking about this stuff
We
there
know.
without, I know this is your big thing, but no one really talks about it as a big collective. They basically they're telling you, we don't want any more investment in your area and all you people should take a loss. So it's, you know, it's like saying this is the worst street in town. We don't want anyone to invest here, so let's just kill the value of it.
It's a message, isn't it?
It's utterly obscene. It's utterly obscene to be doing this. And I hope you hold them, their feet to the fire, the people that have taken you down this track, even, you've done a great job to date, but please don't let foot off the throat.
Well, I've done my own assessment as well. I've phoned up a few insurance companies, you know, pretending that I've got a property here. And everything is all hunky-dory until I say to them, look, I've got this hazard notice on my property, actually, and it's got this reference to Jacobs. And I read that out and they go, oh, yes, okay. We might have to seek further information from the underwriter about that. And I say to them, do you think that might be a problem? And they go, oh, not sure at this stage, but we'll have to have a look at that. So, you know, there is such a...
bearing in mind that the Kapiti Coast District Council have put a blanket limb notification on everybody's limb. Doesn't matter if you're in the hills or down on the, you know, flat or on a sand dune. Everybody's got the same, and it's related to coastal erosion and inundation, and it mentions Jacobs in there. And we've actually been waiting 5 weeks now.
Counting.
Because at our last community meeting, where we had 450 people along, and the mayor asked to speak, and we allowed it, you know, we gave her 10 minutes. She agreed that she would go and get a second legal opinion, but we're still waiting.
So council have received it. They apparently received it 10 days to 2 weeks ago, but they had to brief the mayor on it. The chief executive had to brief the mayor and the councillors. So I'm sure that doesn't take 10 days. So we are still waiting. Another thing I wanted to clear up as well, in some of the news items from New Zealand Herald, Radio New Zealand and Dominion Post, they referred to more than 20 community meetings that have been held in our district. We just want to emphasise that they are counting a lot of the pop-ups which were held in places
which
like...
Which are not public meetings. No one knows of this, that stuff.
Totally misleading.
Like the foyer of a swimming pool during daytime when most people were at work or didn't know about it or both. So to say that there were 20 community meetings is actually really misleading. We held three ourselves as CALM, and not trying to toot our own trumpet or anything, but I believe that we actually reached the residents... far more than what the council or CAP ever did.
They also said they received just under 4,000 individual pieces of feedback, which I'm not quite sure where they got all that from, but I imagine they counted a lot of yellow sticky notices that you had to put on there for standard.
And I mean, all of this is being undertaken by the expertise of this Jacobs engineering firm, which, when I look at it, most of their work overseas is big contracts with the Pentagon, multi-billion dollar contracts. This is the company that has been decided, of course, that the arms part is a separate arm of Jacobs engineering, but this is a company that is doing the sea level rise modeling here in New Zealand. It beggars belief what's happening. So when is the council scheduled its next meeting, where it's going to vote on whether accepting or rejecting these?
They haven't said. They didn't say. We asked them, in fairness to ratepayers, we didn't want this looming over our heads forever and a day. We asked for them to get back to us in a month.
Mm-hmm. We expect a decision in a reasonable time frame.
But I do imagine that they will wait for the inquiry, central government inquiry on climate adaptation to.
The one that's finished last week.
Who knows?
Meanwhile, they'll expect you to keep feeding the machine through your ratings accounts this year. So, look, good work. Feed the machine. It just keeps coming. Yeah. It's the gift that keeps giving.
It sure is. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, thanks for putting on a brave face and doing the hard work, because actually I still think you're pretty much the litmus test for New Zealand, really. There's not this sort of same discussion happening at every other council that's involved in coastal management. So, look, the weight must be on your shoulders, I'm sorry to say. We're going to be benefit, hopefully.
One thing that we do want to do, Don, is we want to help other communities that will be going through this inevitably as well. So we're happy to reach out, or if anyone wants to contact us. We do know that Becca have just undertaken a risk assessment of Wellington too, from a coastal.
It's amazing for such a small country, how many of these, what do I call them? How many of these organizations are there doing all sorts of modeling? But what's happening right now, listeners, is make-believe scenarios are having real-time, real implications, negative impacts on people's lives. And this, for me, is completely unacceptable, especially when the science does not add up. You want to follow the science? It seems like you need to follow the money here. Very happy to be proven wrong. But for the moment, I think we're going to watch this space, Tanya and Kerry. You can go to their website, capiticalm.com. That's spelled exactly as it sounds, capiticalm.com. And our best wishes to you guys. We will be watching and hopefully have another update whenever the council decides to finally vote on this.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us again.
Thank you.
Keep up the good fight. We'll see you around. Bye-bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.